It's a great day to be alive. We kick off a new series this weekend, kind of an early summer series. It's real teaching. It's really directed towards just in a teaching mode of connecting with everything that God has for us. So we're going to be talking a lot about connect. It's going to be called connect. And just praying over that and thinking through that, what God would want to say to us right now about connect. What does it mean to connect? The connection that God wants us to make. And I remember being in Australia several months ago, and connect is a buzzword. Think about it, with all the cell and all the, you know, computer language, connection, making sure you have clear connection, you want a strong connection. And when I was in Australia, I got up early in the morning. I was just having jet lag and went to the business center. Now, I don't spend a lot of time at the business center because I'm not greatly computer skilled flowing. I can work my computer. Other than that, I really can't work with other people's computer. I don't know how to do that real well. So I went to the business center, got there, and when I walked in the business center, overlooking Sydney Harbor, just a gorgeous morning as the sun was coming up, there was this banner that was over the business center, and there were these all these little cards and posters everywhere that said connect with your world. And it was advertising a Wi-Fi service that they had right there, where you could get online and you could connect with anywhere you wanted to connect with right there from that business center overlooking the Sydney Harbor. And I thought to myself, wow, connect with my world. And the whole thing was that no matter where you're at in the world, we want to offer you a service that you can get involved with where you're at and where your world is. So I thought, well, I'm going to try to put this to the test. So I got online and I checked out the Healing Place website. And I thought that was so cool. I thought that was interesting because it was wireless, which I thought is still, I can't comprehend all that. Just wireless internet. And I said, so I'm going to take it to the next level. And so what I decided to do, because the time change, different time zone, it's Monday. And due to the time zone, it was Sunday here in one of our services. And so I went to the internet where we do a live feed. And right now there are many that are watching on the internet. They're at home. And a lady stopped me the other day and told me that she was now joining our internet campus. And so she switched campuses. She likes to stay home in her robe and watch church. I said, well, you may need to stay there. Don't be bringing your robe up in the house of God. I'm just teasing. But, you know, just hundreds of people that join us through the internet, they watch. So I said, I think I'm going to try that. So here I am in a different day, in a different time zone, on the other side of the world. And I log on to a live feed at Healing Place, and it comes up. And I'm watching. I'm connecting to This Is My World. I'm connected. I'm watching it in another part of the world. And what's amazing is all of you are crammed up in that little computer. And it's wireless. I'm thinking, how are you getting all those people from Baton Rouge all the way across the ocean? Find me in a little room in Sydney, Australia. You're finding me wireless through this hotel, and you end up on this screen, and it's as close to real time as you can get. That was amazing. Then I was sitting in a little area. I don't know what, Australians are little people, obviously, because I was in a little cubicle, and it was like built for like a medium-sized guy. And so I was all uncomfortable, got my big double XL crammed up in there. And so I said, let me go move over to the couch. And I said, I wonder if I can take this computer and move with it, and everything moved. And you know what? Everything, y'all, when I moved, you moved. We all moved together. We moved across the room, sat down together. I said, wow, I just picked up 1,200 people in my hand. It's amazing, the technology. Strong connection was what I thought about. That night I journaled, and I said, what a strong, clear connection to be able to see that. So what we're going to talk about for the next several weekends, we're going to talk about our own connection. How clear is our own connection with what God wants to do in your world? This week we're going to talk about being connected to the purposes of God. Next week we're going to talk about being connected to the house of God, to the local church. Then we're going to talk about being connected to your world, where God has you at. And also around the globe, how God's connected you around the world. And then we're going to finish up talking about being connected to devotion. Fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. About spiritual disciplines. Daily, weekly, every other day. Having a discipline to read and pray and worship. Yes. And to walk with God on our own. Our own motivation. to seek what God has for us. So we're going to talk about those things. So let's all pray and let's get ready to connect with what God has for us. Father, we love you. We ask right now in Jesus' name that you speak to our heart. You give us direction. Open up your word like you have done to change our life. Your word does not return void. No matter what we're going through, no matter what's happening in our life, all the various situations, all the various circumstances, different backgrounds, different cars, different zip codes, different makeups, God, different environments, you bring a common truth through your word, and it sits on every heart that's gathered right here and also all across the world, just through the connection. So we love you, Jesus, in Jesus' name, and everyone said amen. We want to welcome all those who have joined us through television. Thanks so much for being with us. We're going to be talking about connecting for the next several weeks, about connecting with the purposes of God, connecting with the local church, connecting with the world, and connecting with devotion, because God wants you to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. So we're going to be talking about that. Thanks for being with that. Hey, Healing Place, why don't we clap our hands for all of those that have joined us through television. Thanks for being here with us today. You know, there's a lot that you can talk about when you launch into the subject of being connected, especially this weekend as we talk about being connected to the purposes of God, being connected to purpose. That is a big topic. There's been a ton of books that have been written on it and done a well job. Book after book talking about being connected to the purpose of God. What is God's purpose for your life? How do I discover the purpose of God? What principles can I walk in to embrace the purpose or the plan that God has for my life? I know here at a church, at our church, we've done a lot of different series on that whole thought of connecting, of discovering, of figuring out, of sorting through, making the most of the moments that God has given us. We have classes about connecting. Matter of fact, we have one called HPC Connect, where you can connect with the dream that's in your heart and how you can connect with how God has wired you. You know, in this room, a lot of us have things in common, but there's a lot of uniqueness. Matter of fact, how many of you married somebody with just a little bit different than you, just a tad different than you? So, there's all kinds of differences, skills, personalities, all these different things. But we talk a lot around here, and we coach, and we have classes, and we're very passionate about realizing that we've not just been made by God, but we have been made for God. And we've been made to have purpose, that we're not an accident, that we don't have to waste our life, that we can figure out why are we on this planet, and we can find answers to the reason why we exist, and we can discover that we have value, and that there's something for us to add into that home. There's something for us to add into that marriage. We're not just merely existing in a job and taking care of grandkids and running people here and there. We're not just at a job, just making money and kind of counting beans and one thing to another and filling out forms and going on calls and working out the deal and finishing up the project. It's more than that. There is purpose attached to our life because we've been created in the image of God. And God is a God of purpose. And we come together, we can walk in purpose. We talk a lot about that. We want you to discover it. We want you to live in it. But for some reason, as I've studied this and read about it, a lot of different directions, the Bible is full of amazing chapters, amazing stories, amazing truths about purpose. But for one reason, it was like the Lord led me to one single verse. And it's one of those verses I love. It's one of those verses that are kind of like an all-in-one verse. There is so much that is covered in the one verse. You know, it's just one of those verses that no matter how many people are listening, no matter how many people are viewing this, no matter how many people are a part of this, in all of our different backgrounds and situations, we can be coming from different things, but this is the type of verse that can cover all of our hearts, all of them, no matter what we're dealing with, no matter what age, what chapter we're in, what season we are facing in our life. There are those verses in the Bible that are all-in-one verses that speak to us about our now, that speak to us about our yesterday, that will speak to us about our future, and we'll put it all together in God's light of promise. This is one of those verses, all-in-one verse. Now, I like all-in-one. I'm a kind of guy, I like a toothpaste to clean your teeth, to make your breath fresh and perky. Take care of a little gingivitis, deal with a little fluoride, take care of a little acne on the side of your head. It'll do everything. I like all-in-one products. I'm that kind of guy, an all-in-one guy. I mean, Dylan and I have all-in-war bathroom product things. We have a war about bathroom products. I mean, in her area, there's like 800 things. I mean, there's like Tuesday conditioner. You can't use it on Thursday. There's like conditioner just in case you rode down Airline Highway today. You need this shampoo for Airline Highway. I mean, it's just amazing the different conditioners, and there's different, like elbow lotion. You only put it on your elbow. Anywhere else, it's giving you an issue. You're getting a rash. I mean, there's all these different lotions and shampoos and soaps. And there's, you know, if your hair's a little tinted brown today, or if it happens to rain, you really need the salve. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff like that. Salve, that doesn't work. And so, you know, it's all this stuff, and it's everywhere. I mean, it's taken over her area. But because I have daughters now, guess whose area is now invaded? It has invaded man space. And I mean, those men don't have a lot of man space. But I have a little bit of man space, and I like it to be man space. I don't want to go in my space and find pink bottles of Tuesday shampoo. Because let me tell you something about Rizzo here. Rizzo is an all-in-one guy. I got one thing in my bathroom, baby. It's bath gel, it's shampoo, and it's conditioner all in one. Come on, somebody. And it will take out a stain if you need it to. I like an all-in-one. Can I have a good amen from the men? And one thing, take care of all of it. Need all of that stuff. Don't get it in my space. I get confused. I'm going to put elbow lotion in my hair, and I'm going to go bald. That's not a good thing, my brother. I'm just teasing. Just joking. Ha ha. I shaved my head in college. Delyn saw me. She said, "You look like an egg with a little bit of hair." She thought I had an eggish type head. That wouldn't look good. But you know, all in one. This is an all in one verse. It'll cover an amazing range of life in this one truth. And the verse is Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. If you'll focus for a few minutes this morning, that verse can speak truth into your world. It'll speak hope. It'll speak purpose into your world. It'll speak God making sense out of things that don't make sense. It'll speak that to our life. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. Let me read it to you again. And we know that all things work together for good. All things work together for good. I want you to see this process. This is a lot of hope. If this is biblical truth, then it's true for all of us. It can be truth for our life, that all things could work together for good to those who what? Love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. See, I love this scripture. I've read it, goodness, several dozen times recently. And just letting it sink in. What does it mean? What is this one verse? How can one verse speak to the range of our life? How does it sink into the depth of everything that's going on? How does it make sense out of our now? How does it continue to give us challenge for the future? And as we just simply look at this verse and almost kind of word study and just take it apart and look at the different ways that God has aligned it for our heart, it's amazing how much truth is there. Just a side note, as I was studying it the last couple of days, I noticed something about the different versions of the Bibles that give this verse. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, the King James, what I just read to you, it goes like this. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. So you see that God is at the end of that phrase. But then you read it in the New American Standard, and it said, God causes all things to work together for good. And then in the NIV, it reads like this. In all things, God works for the good of those who love Him. See the difference just in those three different versions between the New King James, the New American Standard, and the NIV. And the difference is in the King James, God is at the end of the phrase. But then the other two, God is at the beginning of the phrase. You say, what does that mean? Just a side note, I just thought it was interesting that, you know, mostly that's a grammatical issue. That's a text based on when it was written and how it was interpreted out of the Greek. It's mostly that. But I thought to myself how looking at that little instance right there, it almost gives an example of two groups of people. The first group sees life in this context. They see life where life just happens. Life just happens to roll up and roll over and roll on and roll by. Just life goes on, and when everything settles down and life just goes on and things happen in our world, and we just react and we respond, and we're just behind the eight ball per se. We just deal with all these issues, and then when it's all said and done, when the pain and the turmoil and the crying and the issues are done, then God kind of runs by just as an after visit, kind of afterglow. You know, the papers are settling from the turbulent wind. God just kind of does a drive-by and just waves. It's okay, I've been around here somewhere. I've been really busy. I'm just trying to get by right now. Just doing a quick drive-by. I got a lot of parties to attend to, a lot of tragedy to oversee, and I just thought I'd drive by your tragedy, your issue, pat us on the head, and just kind of whatever. God's at the end of it all. But then there's another group that can see this scripture, can hear these words. And I believe this is the group that gives us reality of promise. The reality of God's promise is not that he does a drive-by after everything settles down and after life happens. The reality of Romans chapter 8, looked at in this verse, says that God is there at the beginning, God is there at the end, and that God is there at every other point in between. That God is a big God and he has purpose in and around all situations. Can I have a good amen? Yes. That it's how you see life. It's how you see the situations. In the view of God, in the view of God is in charge, in the view that I am his beloved and he's going to take care of me, or in the light of whatever happens, happens. See, Romans chapter 8, verse 28 tells us that God will work things for good. Now, it may not be the good of right now, because how many have discovered that God is pretty smart? And God sees further than we see. And God sees deeper and longer than we see. So, of course, there are things that happen that at the present moment, they're not that good. But God says, I can work those things for good according to my purposes in the long run. Because God's just not a God of right now. God is a God that sees the whole thing. I love what Genesis says in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. And a lot of scholars say that Genesis chapter 50, verse 20 is the bookend verse in the Old Testament for the New Testament, Romans 8, 28. Now, Genesis chapter 50, verse 20 is the story at the end of the story of the life of Joseph. Now, Joseph has not had everything go his way. Joseph came from a dysfunctional family. Joseph came from a family where there was anger, where there was rage, where there was betrayal, where there was lying. Joseph got into a situation where there was a lot of jealousy, and he was sold off into slavery from a pit. And he ends up in Potiphar's house, and there he's betrayed, there he's lied about, there he's falsely accused, and his life takes a tailspin, ends up in prison. And even there in prison, his dream seems like it's silent, and he's forgotten by friends. Joseph could look at his life and say, I guess none of this makes any sense. But it's interesting how being in that prison is the platform for him to move into the palace where Pharaoh is. And in one conversation, Pharaoh turns everything over to Joseph. And there is Joseph now leading the world. And Joseph looks back at towards his life, towards the timeline of his life. And he sees different points in the timeline that don't look so well. And he's reunited with his brothers, and he's reconnected with his father. And there they are in this moment of coming together, and they're feeling bad. They don't have any idea, why did all this have to happen? Why did we lose all of these years? And Joseph makes this statement. He says, but as for you, you meant evil against me. You did mean evil against me. But God... And that's a big but God. But God meant it for good. You thought that was going to make me bitter. You thought I was going to give up. You thought I was going to sell out on my dream. You thought I was going to quit, but I didn't quit. In all those situations, in all those moments, in all that pain, in all that hurt, I stayed faithful to God, and God meant it for good. God used it all. See, how do you see it? Do you see it that God is there at the end of everything? Or do you see life, no matter what happens, my God is with me. My God is with me through it. Hallelujah. Through the pain, through the hurt, through the loneliness, through the challenge, through the success, through the victory. No matter what happens, I sense the presence of God in my life. Yes. See, Romans says not everything is happy. Not everything is just like, oh, this is incredible. It's an amazing day today. Well, there are amazing days. But how many of us, there's some sorry days. Come on, somebody. There are great moments. Woo! Woo! How many knows the universal excitement is woo? I mean, there's some woo, but there's some days that are like, One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. I mean, there are moments like that. Joseph says there's been days like that, but I look back on them. God meant it for good in order to bring about as it is this day. This day I'm sitting where I need to be sitting. This day I'm an ambassador of grace. This day I'm relaying truth. And it was all brought around for this day. And I love what he says at the end, to save many people alive. What I went through so that I could keep honoring God and make a difference in other people's lives. See, what you're going through is just not about you. Turn to the person next to you and say, you needed to hear that. You needed to hear that. What you're going through is just not about you. God says if you hang in there, you keep me in the forefront, there's no telling how I may use it and who I may use it for. See, Romans chapter 8:28 gives us the promise. When you just slow down and read it, every word, every phrase says that not everything is peachy, but everything can be purposeful. God can find purpose. That one word, purpose, kept jumping out at me. Purpose. There's purpose in the ingredients of our timeline. Brother Wayne gave me this story. I think it's so important. It's a title. He's putting it all together. A little boy is telling his grandma how everything is going wrong. School, family problems, severe health problems. Meanwhile, grandmama is making a cake. She asks her grandson in the middle of him telling him all this, says if he would like a snack, which of course he does. She says, here, have some cooking oil. Yuck, the boy says. How about a couple raw eggs? Gross, grandma. Would you like some flour then to kind of wash it down? You want some baking soda to top it all off? Grandma, those things are yucky. To which grandma replies, yes, all those things seem bad all by themselves. But when they are put together in the right way, they make a wonderful, delicious cake. God works the same way. Many times we wonder why he would let us go through bad things and difficult times. But God knows that when he puts these things all in order, they make always a good work for us. We just have to trust him. Eventually, something wonderful will come out of the oven. See a little heat on it? You put a little frosting on it? Ooh, give me a big piece. But those ingredients by themselves? Ooh, nasty. Natty, natty. So Billy used to call it, ooh, natty, natty. It's nasty. See, we have to realize that God is baking something. God is at work in something. And how many knows that God's not a microwave God? God's a crock pot. Come on, somebody. Let's slow cook the roast. Yeah, come on. Give me some gravy. How many ready to go eat right now? Oh, man. That crock pot make it tender. That crock pot put some flavor in it. Microwave never even seen before. God's the same way. Some of you going through some things right now. There's some heat on your life. There's some heat in a decision. There's some heat in some things. Do you know what? Stay in God. There will be purpose. That word purpose, I did a little word study on it. It means an advanced plan. It means, in the original text, a deliberate plan. It almost means that God is willing to bend decisions and bend your life for a goal, a accomplishment that's bigger than you. So what that means is there is a purpose that God has for you to walk in, that he's bending you into, that he's molding you into. And the purpose is just not about you. The purpose is bigger than even you. It serves the purposes of God. He says, I want to use you in a way, I want to mold you in a way, I want to shape you in a way that not only will it be for your good work, because eventually it will more than you could ever imagine. But more importantly, I want to use you for my good work. Because God has one desire, that's his glory. What does God want to do with my life, Dino? God wants to use you for his good and for his glory. His good, his glory. What about my good? What about my glory? All that is secondary, to be honest with you. I mean, as your pastor, I could sell you that and say, oh, it's all about your good. It's all about God just giving you everything you want and God just making it so incredible. Oh, it's amazing. I'd be lying to you, my friend. Really, it's about his good and his glory. Can I have a good amen? Amen. Let me finish up and just share with you three simple thoughts about biblical purpose. Just simple, man. These are just, tell the person next to you, they're so simple, you're going to get it. If you're watching through television, they're so simple that all of us can get it. These are not, you know, this is not calculus. God bless calculus, but I didn't do too well in it. Okay. These are simple thoughts that all of us can get a hold of. Here's the first one, just clear target. Number one, God's biblical purpose for you is your own salvation. God wants you saved. God wants every person born again. Say, well, now that born again word, not a politically correct word. It doesn't matter what the world does to the word born again. Born again is a Jesus word. He used it. Therefore, we embrace it, whether people like it or they don't like it. We still believe that you must be born again to come into the kingdom of God, to receive Christ as our Savior, to solely depend upon his name and his name alone. That's it. I thought about this healing place, that your personal salvation that God Almighty initiated was a well thought out plan. It was meant to go the way that it did. Jesus was not hijacked. Jesus was not kidnapped on some Friday and just swept away by, you know, a gang of people and accidentally fell into the hands of the criminals. And just through a sort of circumstances, Judas just happened to do all this and it was all wrong. It all went bad and it was all out of control. None of it was out of control. The betrayal, the beating, the crucifixion, everything that went on during those moments was all God calculated. And it was calculated, why? For our salvation, because it could not have went any other way than the way it went. It went that way so that it was all God that did it. Then we would realize that the only way to salvation is by grace. For the Bible says that we are saved by grace and not by works. You see, you mean to tell me I will not stand before God, and if my good deeds outweigh my bad checks, and if I have good gold stars that are outweighing all my red marks, I'm not in? God doesn't grade on a good, bad, you know, there's not a scale. This is not a scale system. There's no scale in heaven. There was one scale. It was in the form of a cross. And Jesus died on that scale and made everything even at the foot of the cross. And it's the difference between heaven and hell. Your own personal salvation is God's chief concern, that you would live a life of purpose now and that you would go to heaven and not go to a lost eternal hell. that was never created for man. You say, then why does God send people to hell? I have people constantly, well, this God of yours, why does God send people to hell? He doesn't send anybody to hell. People choose to go there. They reject the grace that God meant to give them through the cross. The cross demonstrates an unfailing faith and unfailing love. What God did for us deserves more than just a recognition and an awareness. It deserves more than just works and a middle embrace. It deserves a total surrender to it. Because he did for us what we could never do for ourselves. Can I have a good amen? Amen. The great purpose of God is your own personal salvation. Have you become born again? Well, I go to Healing Place. Yippee-yay-yay. Go forever. But have you crossed the line of faith? Have you bowed your knees to Jesus? Can I have a good amen? That's the difference maker. Everything else is a dessert. The main course is crossing that line of faith and trusting in Jesus for your own personal salvation. Have you done that? Have you done that? See, the second purposes of God is to be found faithful. To be found faithful. God is looking for faith on this planet. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 23, when God is summing up how his servants look, you know how he sums them up as? He sums them up and he says this, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." God is looking for faithful people. God blesses faith. God is looking for someone that will walk in faith. Kind of that no matter what faith, no matter what anybody else says, no matter what anybody else does, no matter what anybody else acts like, I'm going to hold on in faith in Jesus Christ. I'm just going to hold on to God no matter what takes place. I'm not going to get distracted. I'm not going to get on the shoulder of the road. I'm not going to run off in some field I ain't got no business running off in. I'm going to stay in faith in God. Faithful to God. See, his chief concern throughout life, even though you go through some things and there's some things that take place, his chief concern is not to make us happy. His chief concern is to see us go through things and come out on the other side of it remaining faithful. Why? Because God rewards faithfulness more than anything. How does God reward faithfulness? By giving that person more, not less. When you're faithful to God, it doesn't mean God says, well, you've been faithful this weekend. I think I'm going to let you get off and be away and take off and go on. And, you know, God doesn't reward us with sending us on a cruise to Fiji. Can I have a good amen? The Bible says that God rewards us with more. So if you're doing a great job and you're being faithful, people are going to ask more of you. People are going to require more out of you. When people find faithful people, oh my goodness. There's a blessing that's on a faithful person. Because see, God wants to do something great. And God wants to do something great for his glory. And he will do it through trusted, reliable individuals. Don't you want to be known as a reliable individual? When God looks down on this planet, will he find you reliable? Will he find me trusted? Would I be numbered among one of the faithful of God? Or would he look down and say that I can't rely on you? If he can't rely on us, guess what? He's not going to give us anything else. And then the third way that we walk in the promises of God. Number one, we take care of our own personal salvation. Number two, I pray that we're found faithful. And number three, we walk in love. We walk in love. If you want to discover the purposes of God, then walk in love. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it says exactly how it works. You say, well, how does all these things work together for my good? How can I walk in purpose? How can I have meaning in my life? How can my timeline of the seasons and the things that I've been through, how can they make sense? Because the Bible says we know that all things work together. Now, that's good. I want all things to be linked together for good to those who what? Who love God. So it's interesting that in verse 28, all things working together for good. Hear this, watch this. It all hinges on me loving God. It can only be claimed by those who love God. It's not for everybody. Not everybody's life is going to work together for good. Not everybody's life, God is going to put it all together and bake it and it come out well. It only works for those that love God. It's not happening for mean-spirited people. Come on, somebody. You just walk it in a mean spirit, an angry spirit, bitter spirit, irritated, mad all the time, negative all the time, angry at people, frustrated, snappy, 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 snappy. All things are not working together for the snap addict. Come on, somebody. They're not working together. They only work together for good when we are loving God, when we're baptized and immersed in the love of God. See, God's love will bring a newness in your own life. You say, well, how do I find the purposes of God? I have found this to be true. When you walk in love, the purposes of God will overtake you. God's looking for somebody to walk in love. I remember my roommate in college. Well, we were roommates for about 2 weeks. Every morning he snapped at me. Angry individual. And it was only before noon. Hey, good morning, glory to God. Whoa, just mean in the morning. Just, you know, nothing good. Everybody's bad. It's nasty. So after about 2 weeks, my roommate slept right there. And after about 2 weeks, I just quit talking to him. I just made a decision. I'm not speaking to him ever again before noon. We'd get in the morning. We'd be right here in the mirror, not even speak. I'd just be like, stop. Snappy, snappy. Yeah, could preach, touch of God on his life. You know, had a little touch of business on his life, good with business, a little entrepreneur spirit, kind of, you know, organizing, he was gifted. Snap him. He bet him, God was going to use him after noon. Because God wasn't going to use him for noon. And you know what's amazing? We had a little revival in our little Bible college and everybody went forward and they were getting anointed. Pray for anointing on your life, ministry, future. He said in the middle of getting prayed for, the Lord stopped him and said, you'll have no anointing unless you're kind to your roommate in the morning. He's down there praying. Oh, you're anointed. Oh, I pray, touch the world. And the Lord dealt with him and said, before you can touch the world, you got to be nice in the morning. That next night, he told me that story. He's like, man, I just got to tell you something. I've been kind of a grouch. And, you know, I just said, you ain't kind of been a grouch. You are a grouch. If you're going to go for it, let's repent. Don't give me that kind of sort of maybe. No, you outright mean. How many knows if somebody opens up the door, storm through it? You don't get humility all the time. And so I just repent. I just thought, wow, it's amazing that when he wanted more anointing, that what hinged on it was being kind. See, the love of God will give you a new perspective. The love of God will give you a new mindset. You'll think differently when the love of God is on your life. See, the love of God will give you a new set of motives. Your motive will change. When you're immersed in the love of God, when you're walking in the love of God, you'll have different motives. And guess what? Different motives speak to purpose. When you're walking in the love of God, you'll have a new set of values. You'll value things differently. You'll value people. You'll value. Why is it that someone can come out and be a part on a Saturday morning? Yesterday we had leaders here washing cars so that kids could go to camp. How is it someone would give up their Saturday morning to wash someone else's car when they don't even wash their own car? But they'll do it at the church so that a kid can go to camp. Why? They have a new set of values now that they base their world on. The love of God will give you new interest. I mean, some of you have new interest now. God has saved you. You want to be faithful to God. And you're trying to walk in. Now you have a new interest. How is it someone would come out at 5 in the morning and cook a meal for a church across town that they will never see, but they'll be able to use a meal to be a blessing to their community? Why? It's a new interest. I mean, of course they still fish. Of course they still tend to the yard. But you know what? They're interested in the things of God. They'll give up a few Saturdays. There's a new interest on them. How is it someone would come out to a ball field, stand out there all day long, and before they could be doing this and doing that, but they'll give a few Saturdays to some kids so that the kids will have an environment to maybe be touched by God. It's a new interest. Why? Because there's a love of God that's in their heart. See, the love of God will give you a new perspective. It will give you a new interest in life. For where there was me, myself, and I, all of a sudden now there's us and them, you. Where there was greed, now there's generosity. Where there was hate, now there's humility. Where there was a worldly treasure-driven mentality, now there's this heaven-caused priority. The love of God will give you a new world. And I can promise you, if you're struggling with purpose, if you're struggling with cause and reason, I wonder if I'm making a difference. Walk in love and difference will find you. Walk in love and purpose will come all up into your path. It'll find you when you walk in the love of God. Let me finish with this verse. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 and 18 and 19. It'll be the last words we need to hear today. Love has been perfected among us in that day, in this, that we may have boldness in that day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in the world. I love this right here. There is no fear in love. I don't fear the future. I don't fear what's going to happen. I don't fear the unknown, because there is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. Father, we come before you right now in Jesus' name.